Well, good morning. Everybody doing okay? Okay, three of you, that's okay. As we were singing those songs this morning, you know, about giving God praise and being thankful, and, you know, that's something that we should practice every day. And I just thought, have you thanked God for anything yet this morning? Have you praised Him for anything in your life, or praised Him for what He's done? And but it's something that should be continually in our mouth. And just watching that video about compassion, that, you know, we are greatly blessed in this country, and you know, we are God's hands, we are God's avenue to reach people and to help people. We may not be able to go everywhere, but there are ministries that God has raised up to reach out and to help kids, to help people. And so it's pray about what you know, God may have you do, and be open to what He speaks into your heart. This morning I want to read some verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and address or look at this title called Destination Excellence. Paul is writing to believers at Corinth, and he's talking about the believers in Macedonia and their desire to give to help the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul writes here in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, he says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Ending at verse 7. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your forgiveness. God, just for the privilege of coming here and together in this place, in this house of worship, we as the people of God come to hear from you and to give back our praise, our worship, our thanks, God, for all that you have done, all that you're doing. And God, we just welcome you by the Holy Spirit into this place today. And God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, open our eyes and ears. And God, that you would direct every word I say. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, Father. I ask for your anointing. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray and give you thanks. Amen and amen. I'm not focusing this morning on, excuse me, on giving. My focus this morning is our lives striving and continually in process of growing and becoming more like Christ Jesus. I mean, that's the work that God began in us, that He's working in us, that He's working on us, and that we allow Him to work. We invite Him to work. And as he works in us and as he works on us, that we become more like him, that we reflect more of him in our lives, in our attitudes, in our in our speech. If you're of my age or a little bit younger, there, back in the 1960s, anybody remember the 60s? There was a football coach by the name of Vince Lombardi, and he coached the Green Bay Packers. First two Super Bowl wins, right on. Amen. But anyway, he said this, and I quote, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to his or her commitment to excellence, regardless of the chosen field of endeavor." The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to his or her commitment to excellence, regardless of the chosen field of endeavor. And our kids were growing up, they were active in sports. They played baseball, basketball, football, volleyball. But one of the things that we always told our kids is how you practice is how you're going to play. And so that was something that we tried to instill in them. If you goof off in practice, you're not going to be able to play on game day. And so we tried to instill in that in them. And there is a principle that if we put little effort into something, we are going to get little results back. And even as we look into the scripture, there is a biblical principle that the Bible tells us that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap. There's a biblical principle there. What you put in, what you invest, your effort. And so as we look at this, and then there was a basketball coach by the name of Pat Riley who was very successful with the Lakers. And he said this, "Excellence is the gradual result of always striving to do better." The gradual result of always striving to do better. And as we look at this in the natural, and you look at this where sports is involved, we can apply a spiritual application to that as well. Am I committed to this truth of always striving to do better in my walk with God? Am I striving to grow? Am I striving to learn more of Him? Am I striving to sense His presence? Am I striving to hear His voice more clearly? And today, we need to hear the voice of God. We need to be striving to become more like Him. Am I striving to do the very best versus just enough? Just enough to get by. Or is my heart into something and that I'm always striving to do better? I read a book, and in that book was this statement, "Success is always intentional." Success is always intentional. Success just doesn't happen. You and I don't wake up some morning and we're successful. You and I don't wake up some morning and our business is successful. Our opportunity is successful, or the things that we're doing. It just doesn't happen that way. And then the fact of it is that success doesn't come knocking on your door. You know, it's not going to ring your doorbell and you say, "Who's there?" And they say, "Success." It's something, it's an effort that you and I put forth in it. Spiritual growth, spiritual excellence doesn't just happen. Spiritual growth and spiritual success just does not happen. We don't just wake up some morning and we automatically have become some spiritual giant. It's a process, it's a growing. You know, in Luke chapter, I believe it's 2, where it says where Jesus grew in the grace and knowledge and favor with God and man. Jesus grew and he grew up. And so we grow and we grow up. We grow up in the grace and knowledge of him. And there's always something to learn. There's always more of God to discover. And so it is up to you. It's up to me to put forth the effort to learn and discover all that there is about God. Spiritual excellence is always intentional. Spirit, and we have to understand that. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This is a call for believers to take their salvation seriously and to live out their faith with reverence and humility. We should never take this awesome gift of salvation without reverence. We should not take it and act on it or receive it and then not grow in it. Fear and trembling can be understood as a deep sense of awe and respect for God. Now, this does not imply a fear of punishment, but rather a healthy reverence for God. Not a fear of punishment, but I have a healthy reverence and awe of God. I mean, just think for a moment today as we consider what is going on in the world, in this country today. Have we lost our fear, our reverence of God? I mean, are we shaking our fist in God's face? Are we just kind of openly defying God? Are we holding fast to the reverence that God deserves, that we stand in awe of his glory, of his majesty, of his power, of his authority? We have to recapture that sense of awe. As born-again believers, we know our destination. And how we live here in our journey is as important as our arrival there. As a born-again believer, you know your ultimate goal is heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your eternity will be spent in heaven. And we should be so grateful for that. But how I live my life here on earth now till we make that transition is vitally important. We are to walk worthy of the calling in which we've been called. We are to walk worthy, to live our lives worthy of who we are to be representative of. We are not to live haphazardly as the world lives. We are to live as children, as men and women, people of God. And we are to be different. And we are to live our lives different than the world does. But we are to live our lives in such a way that honors, glorifies, pleases God. That's what we're called to do. Live your lives worthy of the calling. You've been called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We have been called to be representatives of Jesus Christ, and my life should reflect that. My life should be lived in such a way that it's lived in my best effort to live in honor and please God. How can I do that? I have to rely on the Holy Spirit who indwells me, who indwells you, to help us live our lives in ways that are pleasing to the Lord. In Proverbs 16:17, it says, "The highway of the upright avoids evil." The course, the way of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way, he who guards what he does, he who guards what he says, guards or preserves, his life. And how can we accomplish this? Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We have to learn, we can train ourselves to live in line with the word of God, to live our lives. My life should be a pattern of what this book says. People, you've heard it said that, you know, your life is what some people will read. And if we give testimony that we've been saved, that we are followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, people will read you. They will watch what you do. They will watch what you say. They will watch how you react. They will watch how you react under pressure. They will watch how you react under a hardship. You face a difficult time in your life. People will watch how you react or respond. We talk about living by faith, living by trusting in God. Are you going to trust God when the way gets rough? The trial may be difficult. The issue may really be overwhelming. And sometimes life can be overwhelming. We have to admit that. Life can sometimes be overwhelming, but we don't have to be overcome by it. We know with Christ and the Spirit of God within us, we can then be overcomers. You cannot be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome. You cannot be more than a conqueror unless you have something to conquer. And so we face these things, we face these challenges with all the confidence, not in ourselves, not in my ability or your ability, but we face these challenges with the trust and confidence and the ability that with God all things are possible, and God will walk through any challenge with you. And we just say thank you, God, for that. Jesus says or declares in John 15, abide in me and my words abide in you. This intimacy that we've been divinely connected, we've been grafted into the vine as branches, and now our resource, all that we gain is from the vine, from Christ. And we get spiritual nutrition from the vine. So we abide in the Word. His Word abides in us. And Jesus says, when you do that, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. And I guarantee you that's true. Without him, we can't do anything. But with him, all things are possible. Abide in me, remain in me, dwell in me, and have my words dwell in you. And that is our key to success. In Romans chapter 12, and you can probably quote these two verses out of the Amplified Bible, it says, do not be conformed to this world or to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, be changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. A complete reprogramming of how we think. That we think on, as Paul says, we think on the things that are honest. We think on the things that are lovely. We think on the things that are true. We think on the things that are most excellent and worthy of praise. That is what we are to be, to set our minds on. Set our minds on things above. That does not mean that we ignore where we are and what our responsibility is here on earth. But we can get, we fix our minds, our hearts on the things above. That is our goal. Being in the Word and having our minds renewed daily. And is your mind being renewed daily? Have you ever just stopped and evaluated your spiritual growth, your spiritual progress? Are you growing? Are you moving forward in Christ? Or are we stagnant? Am I stagnant? Are you stagnant? Is the church stagnant? Are we moving forward as he leads the way? Are we growing in him? Are we open to be taught? Are we open to learn? All that God wants to show us, all that God wants to teach us. We need just to examine ourselves. Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? And we look at ourselves, and then we can say, I'm not where I should be. I may not be where I should be now today, but I can stop and thank God that I'm not where I was. I'm not maybe where I should be, but I'm not where I was. I left that. I want nothing to do with that. I have no part in that anymore. My purpose, my goal is to move on, to grow in Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of him. He is the Lord of our lives. He deserves preeminence in our lives. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. Chuck Swindoll, years ago, wrote a two-part series, books called Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. And it simply is living above the level of moderate to low quality, average. Do we take our life with God or with Christ for granted? Are we living beneath the privileges that the Bible has for us? Are we living beneath the privileges that Jesus Christ has provided? Are we growing? Are we just doing things? Are we going through motions? Do we pray? Well, yeah, I pray. I pray when I have a need. Well, wouldn't it be great to pray and be prayed up so when something happens, you can stand strong and firm in what you know? It's good to pray about something before it happens and to pray about it in the midst of it. That may not happen all the time. Things may blindside you that you have to pray about. I admit that. But if we are to be people of prayer, people of faith, we need to talk to the one in whom our faith is. We need to talk to the one in whom we've put our faith, our trust, and our confidence. So we need to be people of prayer. Do we read the Word? Yeah, I read the Word when I have time. I read the Bible when I have time. You know, we make time for all kinds of stuff. Amen? You know, people say, well, I don't have time for this. I guarantee you, people will make time for things that they want to do. I guarantee you. Your calendar may be full, but if you want to do something, you'll change something. But we have to be in the Word. We have to look at the Word. When we're in the Word, we can examine ourselves by reflecting in the Word of God. Am I doing this? Am I growing? Am I getting better? Am I falling short? This is an area of my life that I should really be focused on. God, I'm not doing what I believe you want me to do. Help me to do better. Worship. I worship when I feel like it. Is that how we approach worship? I worship when I feel like it. I sing praise to God when I feel like it. Do you come to church when you feel like it? Did you, all of you, feel like you really wanted to come to church today? Hey, there's an honest. We don't, the Bible says that we don't live our life with God by feeling. You know, guys, you may feel, you know, today you're in love with your wife. Tomorrow you might change your mind. Or vice versa. Wives, if you want to go like this, go ahead. But we don't do anything by our feelings. Worship is expressing my love. Worship is expressing your love to God. God has already expressed his love for us in sending Jesus to the cross. And I don't want to thank him for doing that. I don't want to worship him because I don't like the song. I don't feel like it. Give me a break. We like to be comfy cozy, don't we? Don't you preach that. It'll make me feel uncomfortable. I used to have a guy tell me when he left church, he said, my toes hurt. I said, what's wrong with your toes? He said, you just tramped on them. We have to be open to what God said. And sometimes it's not the most pleasant things to hear. Amen? But worship is loving God, thanking him for what he's done. And then giving. Yeah, I'll give when I, you know, if I have an extra. I'll give anything if I have anything left over. I used to do that years ago. I used to pay bills and then God, you know, I have a little bit left over. I'll give you some of this. Boy, was that wrong. God wants the 10% of the very top. Uh-oh, now he's going to talk about money. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. Everything belongs to God anyway. Everything belongs to God anyway. You know, and you can do more with 90% if you give God 10 than you can do with 100% if you keep it. Martha and I, I got things turned around. Thank God. Martha and I, we do it the right way. Amen? I got to give her a cue card. But there's just things in our lives that if we just stop and think and examine, we could do a whole lot better. Amen? God desires you to prosper spiritually. God desires that. God desires you to prosper and to be successful spiritually. And he knows that the enemy will come to rob, kill, and destroy, to discourage, to frustrate you, to want to throw your hands up and say, hey, I quit. That's not working. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to grow, to learn more of him, to embrace him. He wants us to embrace his exceeding great and wonderful promises. The Bible is full of promises that God has made to believers, to you, to me as believers, to the church. He has made covenant promises. We just have to live lives of obedience to what God is saying. God desires that we lack no good thing. Gloria Gaither made a statement one time. She said, if you want to be happy, lower your expectations. If you want to be happy, lower your expectations. If you want to be great, raise them. If you want to be happy, lower your expectations. If you want to be great, raise them. And you know, I thought about the crippled man in Acts 3. You know, for over 40 years, he was carried to the temple gate. 40 years. He was over 40 years old. Every day he was gone. He went to the temple gate to beg for alms. Peter and John went by. And he was begging. Whether he was clanging his cup, I don't know. But he begged for alms. And Peter and John stopped. And they said, look at us. Very next phrase, he looked at them expecting. Do we look to God expecting? I've said it before. You come into this place, do you come expecting? Do you come to expecting to meet with God, for God to meet with you, for God to speak to you? Do we expect? When you pray, do you expect God to hear and God to answer? Or do we just say prayers and say whatever will be, will be? We have to be intentional in our prayers. We have to do that. Are you desiring a closer, more intimate walk with God? Is that something that your heart is really yearning for? A deeper, closer, more intimate walk with God? Are you desiring to experience him more in deep? Are you experiencing more in deeper ways? Are you desiring a move of God in your life? Are you desiring a move of God in the church? Well, what's that going to look like? I don't know. You know, sometimes we want God to do things in our lives or in our church. And then we give God a directive. God, this is how I want it done. I want this, 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 and this. And God says, well, what if I don't want to do it that way? God knows what's best for your life. God knows what's best for the church. Amen? He knows what's best for Antrim. Okay? And I hope you're praying for the new pastor, whoever that is. I'm going to tell you one thing, God knows. God knows who it will be. You just need to allow God to do it. Amen. Come on, preach with me. But a move of God, what is that going to look like? I don't know. I don't want anything crazy. Well, God doesn't do crazy stuff. Amen? God doesn't do crazy stuff. People do crazy stuff. Let God be God. We must be intentional. We really do. We must be intentional. We must seek Him with our whole heart. We must listen and live in obedience to His word. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus is at Lake Gennesaret, and He's teaching, and the crowd is so large that it begins to push Him to the edge of the water, and He looks around, and He sees two boats, and He gets into the one that belongs to Peter, and He says, hey, Peter, push out a little bit from the edge. And he does. And he sits down. The Bible says he sits down. He continues teaching. He continues teaching. And then he's done teaching. I don't know what he taught. Be nice to know. But then the very next thing, he tells Peter, push out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Peter said, Master, we have worked hard all night. We have fished hard all night. We haven't caught a thing. Isn't it sometimes how God directs us to do something and we come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons not to do it? Push out to the deep. This is what Jesus said. Let down your nets for a great catch. Lord, we've done that. Been there, done that. There's nothing there. So we come up with some reason, some excuse that we don't want to do it. But then he had second thoughts. He says, but because you say so, I will. And what an outcome. What a miracle. He caught so many fish. The net was about to break. The boat was about to sink. He called for the second boat. They got so many fish, they were about to sink. And I was just telling Martha last night, isn't it amazing that the blessings that we could miss if we disobey God. Look at the blessings that happened. Even though he fished all night, even he worked hard all night, nothing was there, not even a nibble, not even a bite. If it would have been me, I wouldn't have lasted all night, I can tell you that. But then the very next morning, God says, put it out there. And he got such a catch. What a blessing. People, let us not miss what God wants to say. Let us not miss what God wants to do. If you desire more of God in your life, what is he calling you to do? If you really want God to fill you and God to use you to overflow, what is God asking you to do? What is he calling you to? What are you willing to do? Don't go putting restrictions on God. God, I'll do this, but, you know, just keep it at that. God, whatever you want, I'm here. And God won't give you more than you can handle. Amen? He won't. But what he calls you to do, he will bless you, he will anoint you, he will empower you to do it. Because it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about him. He is the enabler. What is God asking? What is God telling you? Or do we come up with all kinds of excuses? Or do we say, as Peter did, because you say so, I will. Spiritual excellence is intentional. It just doesn't happen. We have to put forth an effort. And when we seek God with our whole heart, we're going to find him. And you're going to be awed at all that you find God to be when you seek him with your whole heart. But that's what he's calling us to do. Wherever you are in your walk with God, this morning, you know, what is he saying to you? Is he asking you to do something? Is he asking you to give something up? I don't know. But pay attention to what God is saying. Let's be people of spiritual excellence that strive to do better in our prayer time, in our reading, in our worship, in our giving, whatever area it may be. Let us strive to be excellent in all that we do for his honor and glory. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. We recognize you to be the awesome God that you are. You are so worthy of praise. You are so worthy of glory and honor. And God, we just want to thank you this morning. And Father, as we are here in this place, in this house of prayer, this house of worship, God, if there's one here this morning that's hurting, that's discouraged, that's frustrated, that's even hungry, Lord Jesus, you said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Lord Jesus, for that one who may need to be filled today with you, Holy Spirit, do the work of the Father. Do the work of the heart of the Father this morning. Speak to that one. And God, that you would do great and mighty things. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory. And we ask it in Jesus' awesome name. Amen and amen.